Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is truth. Thank you that it gives us power. Thank you that it gives us encouragement. Thank you that it gives us hope. We approach your word right now in faith that you will speak to us and bring transformation in and through us, that we can be like Jesus in our world today. We pray this all. Amen. There's a picture out there that you can look at later, but it says this phrase, regardless of your personality, regardless of your history, regardless of your gifting, Jesus wants to involve you in his plan for the world. Jesus, are you listening to me? Jesus wants to involve you in his good plan for our world. Jesus wants to involve you in his plan for our world. And that's super fun. Last week we told a story out of the Bible of a guy who was so screwed up, he was so insane that he lived in the tombs and he would cry out day and night. Remember that story? That's often called the Gadarene demoniac. So screwed up that he would scream out at night. He'd take sharp rocks and cut himself. He often was running around naked, scared the bejesus out of everybody. Can I say that? Bejeebers. I just did. Sometimes the town folk would put him in chains and he'd break them. He was crazy, scary, every kind of mental disorder, and fully demonized. And he came to Jesus, and actually Jesus came to him and set him free. Regardless of your history, regardless of your personality, regardless of your gifting, Jesus wants to involve you in his plan for the world. Jesus healed the man, set him free, and sent him into his world and said, you go to your people and you tell them what I did for you. And the man did, and it changed where he lived. 10 different cities called the Decapolis. Amazing story. And the reason I told that to you was just in case you're someone who said, yeah, but not me, because I don't really have my act together, so God could never use me. Or maybe he'll use me in the future. That brother got set free and the same day was used by Jesus. That's what I'm trying to say. So, God wants to use you in a great blessing. Last week we said, it's a pretty simple message and a pretty simple plan, pretty simple thinking. We said that taking our next step in Jesus is so easy. It's like left foot, receive the life of the kingdom, receive the life of Jesus, enter into it, experience Jesus. You just experienced Jesus at least a bit in worship, I hope. Right foot, extend the life of Jesus. Left foot, freely I receive. Right foot, freely I give. I'm walking step by step, constantly entering into an experience with Jesus, constantly giving it out. You need both of those feet if you're going to walk in life. If you're just receiving, oh, give me some more. Oh, I need some more prayer. Oh, I don't want to touch anyone yet. Give me some more prayer. Oh, give me another good teaching. Oh, too bad there's only 4 stations on the radio with good Bible teaching. Oh, let me get a book. Let me go to a conference. Oh, more worship. Oh, more worship. Oh, go to this group. Go to this Bible study. Go to this conference. Oh, I need some more. Have you touched anyone today? No, no, I just need some more. I need to get fat in Jesus. You get stinky if you're like that. If all you do is give, oh, I don't have time. I don't have time to rest before the Lord. Don't have time to get before him in prayer. Don't have time to get in the word. There's so much to do. I go serve people. Oh, I need to go feed the hungry. Oh, I need to go pray for the sick. Oh, I need to give. And you never get any. You're going to dry up like a, well, you know what a raisin looks like after all. You're going to look like a Christian raisin. Because you'll have given it all out. You need left foot, right foot. You're starting to wake up. I can see it right now. One of the most powerful things that you and I have to give that I want to talk about today is hope. There is hope. There is hope in Jesus. There is hope in the kingdom of God. There is hope that transforms lives. And if you forgot that, I want to remind you that there's hope. And if you're here that you're here and you're not living in hope, there's hope available that will change your life. I better sit down before I fall down. This week, I just heard another story of a suicide. Suicides generally are connected with absolute hopelessness. The problem of hopelessness. If Satan can discourage you so much that you shift into hopelessness, there's little that can happen of good in your life and a lot that can happen of bad. If the situations in this world bring you down into discouragement where you believe it will never get better, you are in big trouble. And that's one of Satan's best weapons. I often say to people, and I say to you on Sunday morning sometimes, think about what you're thinking about and don't believe everything you think. Yeah. Satan is going to give you opportunity to think really bad stuff all the time. He is a liar. He's the father of lies, and he will feed you discouraging lies, hoping that you'll listen to him and hoping that you'll think that they're your thoughts and you'll start believing them and living like they're true. Yeah. And you will be discouraged until you're hopeless. If you're hopeless, you're like a car without gas. I don't care if it's a Lamborghini without gas, it ain't going nowhere. If you have no hope, you ain't going nowhere. You're going down fast. You're going to get rusted out. You're going to get depressed. Your tires are going to go flat. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I've read teen suicide right now is the third leading cause of death among people 15 to 24. I put that quote, it's probably up there in your handout there too, from a guy named Ray Johnson. It's not hard times that cause people to quit. It's losing hope that causes people to quit. For generations in our culture, we've been teaching something that can be called postmodernism, one of its aspects. Have you ever heard of that phrase, postmodernism? If you don't know, you've been exposed to it. And your kids have read the literature, and they've been taught it, and if they've gone to college, they've been taught it, even if it's not called that. But a component of it is this idea. There is no meaning anywhere apart from the meaning that you bring. When you read a story, there's no meaning in the story unless you bring some meaning to the story. And there's no hope unless you bring hope. And that bill of goods has been sold to our culture at large since at least the 1960s in the universities. Well-believed people, smart people, believe it. And I'm telling you, it's a lie. There is meaning apart from you. There is hope apart from you. You don't bring the meaning to this world. God has meaning. You discover his meaning. You don't bring hope. God has hope. You discover his hope, and you can have it in your life. And then having hope, you can bring hope to other people, and you can change lives with hope. Have you ever run into that person?
Yeah.
You were down, and they ran into you, and they're just so full of hope. They're so full of excitement. They're full of expectation, and they're not just faking it till they make it. It's real in their lives. Oh, just pretend you're drinking coffee. Our hope is built, remember this song, on nothing less than what I bring to the situation. No, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, his blood, his righteousness. My hope is in a good Father. I read this morning in I was reading Psalms, and it said, you are blessed if your hope is in the God who made the heavens, the God who made the earth, the God who made the sea and all the creatures in it, the God who made everything. If that's where your hope is, you are blessed. If your hope is in your ability to solve problems, you're cursed. If your hope is in the God who made everything, think how amazing he is. If your hope is in him, would you rather me not talk so excited? Because you're all just staring at me like a side dish you didn't order. I didn't order steamed carrots. What's that doing there? I believe that your and my best days are not in our past, but they are in our future. Why? I believe in a God of increase. Why? Because the Bible said that Jesus would come, and of the increase of his peace and his government, there would be no end. Did the increase of his government, his rulership in this world, the kingdom of God, come to an end? No, it's increasing. It's increasing. And I'm going to do well if I attach myself to that reality and that truth and live from that place. And it's not fake it till you make it. There's power, there's essence, there's substance. He's the God of increase. So, the transforming power of hope. When we've experienced for ourselves, did you hear the word experienced? Not just believing the right thing. See, Jesus taught a way of life to his disciples. He didn't just say, here's the list of things to believe and you'll be good if you know the truth. It's an experiential knowing, an experiential entering into life with Jesus. When we've experienced the life of Jesus for ourselves and we've experienced the incredible hope of the kingdom of God, we can radiate that life into others. I have done it. I'm telling you, it's the truth. I have come into places where there's no hope, and God, His Spirit in me, took my experience that I've had with Him and His ongoing filling through me to bring hope into situations where there was no hope, and it changes the stinking atmosphere. Better calm down. Is he a good father?
Yes.
Is your hope in a good father?
Yes.
Is he all powerful?
Yes.
Where's your hope in an all powerful God?
Yes.
Does he know everything?
Yes.
When we pray, our Father who art in, where is he?
Heaven.
Where is he?
Heaven.
Our God is in heaven. He is above all. He's over all. His perspective is better than my perspective. His perspective is written in this book. And when I line my life up with this book and his perspective, I have hope. And I'm no longer sitting like a car on the side of the road without gas and flat tires. Now you're awake. This week, I sat with a couple, married couple. The man, they've told their story. I won't tell you their names, but you might know them actually in this room. Anyway, the man had, through a number of problems in his dysfunctional family and his growing up, allowed himself to fall into temptation that turned into sexual addiction. So he'd been unfaithful to his wife out of sexual addiction. I'm talking with the husband and wife. And he'd been struggling with, he's a Christian man. This happens to Christian people. You know people like this. The day came about 6 months ago when the Lord said to him, you have to confess to your wife. And the Lord was strong to him. And he did. She was devastated, of course. All crazy thoughts. She spent hours just like, oh, like the worst thing. It's a storm that nothing makes sense. She told me, as she's sitting there with her husband, 6 months ago this happened. She said, I went and I thought, well, I could do a number of things. I could kill myself. Seemed like a good option. But she remembered that when she was a teenager, she struggled a lot with suicide. And had worked out all right already. That wasn't a good solution. So she thought, well, I could go get drunk. But she knew that wasn't a good solution either because it only gets worse at the end. And she thought, well, I could divorce him. Then she realized, that's not actually going to solve my issues. And I happen to love this man. Then she thought, I could look to the cross. And look at Jesus, who went to ridiculously extreme lengths for my forgiveness and empower me to be able to forgive. So I think I'm willing for him to empower me to forgive. So she stepped into that and she made a decision at that point. And they begin a journey in the kingdom of God. He and she separate together. And they are by no means arrived. But I was just blown away. I said, you guys, this is the most hopeful story. Look at you. They're in love with each other. They're working through issues that they didn't realize were at the root of some other problems even, including the sexual addiction. He's in various programs, but in the Word of God and the power of the Spirit and prayer and community and the rulership of Jesus, his government is increasing in their lives, and they have hope. And I know that what's going to happen is what was meant to destroy them is going to turn into a solution and a hope for other people as they continue to grow in this healing process, because there is hope in the kingdom of God. And once you've experienced that hope, you can radiate that hope to others. Do you understand? This is left foot, right foot. Left foot, right foot. There is hope in the kingdom of God. So know Jesus. Oh, watch this video. And I'll tell you what happened in the interview afterward. You're going to watch a bad, grainy video of a race that happened in 2008. Can you show it? I hope you can show it because it's cool.
The 600-meter underway, Heather Dornard in Minnesota finished second this event a year ago. She was in lane four.
And Dornard is probably going to be your favorite. She actually won the NCAA championships in 2006 in the 800, but she only won one Big Ten championship in the 2 years.
Three laps in this event, 600 meters, three times around the 200-meter track here at the Fieldhouse.
What a bold move by Fallon. She's looking very confident, and the Penn State runner is just running amazing today. She did win her heat in the 400, but ended up taking fourth overall.
That's Fawn Dorr moving into the
lead. High school days on.
Dornard in running second.
Dornard last year scored 23 points for the Golden Gophers in their Big Ten championship, so they're really relying on getting a lot of points from her this weekend, and she's just coming by Fawn Dorr now in the home stretch, heading into the bell lap.
Dornard and falling down, gets up quickly.
Is it over?
That's going to cost her. Lucky she wasn't injured.
Her teammate just went to the front, though, so they may be able to recover from that. And Dornard is flying down the back stretch.
She is catching up.
She is going to catch Fawn Dorr, and she may catch the leader.
Wow.
You already know what's going to happen.
This is a gutsy effort by Dornard.
Can you believe that? She was interviewed, and the interviewer said, when you fell, what went through your mind? She said, I can only think of the words, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I kept saying them again and again in the face of my challenge. I guess he did it. Can you imagine? Have you fallen down in your race? And you're discouraged. There's no chance that you could ever get in that race again. There's not a chance. That was impossible. She's on the ground. Her face is skinned up. She's sliding. If she got up and started running again and said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the truth that I'm going to base my life on. I think I can do all things. I can run this race through Christ who strengthens me. She keeps running and she wins the race. And I didn't make that story up. I wrote this in your notes. Our hope is that the life of the kingdom of Jesus, demonstrated in his life, the life of the kingdom, the ruling and reigning of God's goodness, the life that Jesus experienced and demonstrated in his life. If you read the stories of Jesus, you go, man, that guy's on top. Nothing can mess him up. He's never worried. He is the ultimate experience of the Psalms, the shepherd psalm that says, the Lord is my shepherd, I will lack nothing. Jesus never lacks anything. No one can take anything from him. Satan himself can't take anything from Jesus in the temptation in the wilderness. When there's a problem, he can meet it. Everything is good. And the promise, the hope of the kingdom is that that life is available for all who follow Jesus. That life. His disciples begin to live it. He calls us to live it. The hope is that the life that was demonstrated is literally available in me, in you, in ever-increasing measure. Ever-increasing measure. That life is available to me and you in ever-increasing measure. His Spirit actually lives in us, transforming us and empowering us. And if I had an hour and a half with you, I would start reading the scriptures of change that were written about the people in the Bible and written about you and me as our minds are renewed and transformed and we begin to be formed into the image of Christ. What is the hope of people around us who don't know Jesus? That maybe if you go to the gym enough, your muscles will get hard? And you'll have a flat belly? Maybe if you read enough self-help books, you'll get a little better and you'll have a little peace. You know what our hope is? You know what we say? Do you know what Christianity says? We're becoming like God. That's my hope, that Jesus himself is working in me till I'm becoming like him. I'm actually becoming patient. I'm actually becoming kind. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Love. I'm actually living in love. I actually have joy no matter the circumstances. I'm telling you, I can tell you personally, not that many months ago, I thought, well, this could be my last day. As I lay on the bed in the emergency room, you know the story, when I was taken there by ambulance. And I literally had joy. Why? Because I'm so smart? No. Why? Because I read a lot of self-help books? No. Why? Because I talk good? No. Because the Spirit of Jesus Christ lives in me. And it's true. If you were there, I was joking in that ER room and the nurses were cracking up. Why? Because Jesus is in me. This stuff works. It works. It's not fake. Jesus is real. I have experienced him. I've been there, and I'm here to tell you he's good. If you've experienced him, you are here to tell someone it's good, and you can know him. And when we do that, the world is transformed. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. But how are we doing for time? Oh, I want to read this story to you. Can I read fast? Romans 12 first. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, speaking about the Holy Spirit in him, said, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord. Joyful in hope. Patient in affliction. Faithful in prayer. In Acts 27 is the story of a crazy shipwreck. Paul is on a ship on his way to Rome. He's a prisoner, along with 276 people, most of whom are prisoners. And here's the story. I'll read fast. It's probably on the screen. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island they left from. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed to the lee of a small island called Cauda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. When the men had hoisted it aboard, they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together, fearing they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis. They lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day of the storm, they threw the ship's tackle overboard, trying to lighten the load. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. Not good when you don't have hope. After the men had gone a long time without food, I jumped ahead a little bit. Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail. He told them, the Lord said, don't do this. Then you would have spared yourselves. But now I urge you, watch hope transform, to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. How do you know this, Paul? Because he's in the kingdom of God. He's not just dreaming this up. He says, only the ship will be destroyed, because last night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood by me and said, don't be afraid, Paul. Remember, you might have learned this long ago. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. That's not just funny, just nice words. It's the truth. It's the truth. If you know him, you're not alone. He's with you. Paul had the angel show up. He was with him. Don't be afraid. You're going to stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of everyone who's with you. So he says, men, keep courage. I have faith that God will bring us. They went 14 days without eating. Verse 33, Paul urges them to eat. You ought to eat. It's been 14 days. You've been in constant suspense. You've gone without food. You haven't anything. I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you is going to lose a single hair from his head. After this, he took some bread, thanked God, passed it out. They began to eat. They were all encouraged. There were 276 of us on board. Eventually, they hit a sandbar. They ran aground. The soldier said, let's kill them all. But the centurion said, no, we ought to spare him, because as Paul said, we should spare him. And they all made it to land. They all survived. Transforming power of hope. Looking for Amber's life. Is Amber's life standing in this room? There you are. Come here. Now, this is a little story of hope. Little stories are sometimes the best, because when you hear a little story, you go, I can do this. Amber, actually, Brian told me a story, and I asked Amber to tell me her story of what she did recently, and it actually was about transferring hope. Tell us your story.
Okay, so.
Is that on? Did I do it wrong?
Hello.
Oh.
There we go. So we're in the season of meeting new people because one of my kids started at a new school. So I walk her to the bus stop every morning, and there's other parents. So I talk to the parents.
Wait, stop. So she talks to the parents. Who are you helping to become a lover and follower of Jesus if you're not talking to anybody? It's called the holy hello. You may continue. You talk okay. to the parents.
I talk to okay. the parents. And I start to, I ask them their names, and I try to remember
Brilliant.
What their names are. Actually, write down people's names sometimes so it's easier for me to remember. There's one gal who I've talked to several times, and she just shared some things about her life with me several times. And this one time, she and I were talking, and she was just sharing some stuff from her heart. And as she was talking, I felt the Lord just say, are you going to pray for her? And I was like, whoa, okay. So I asked her, when she was done, I really feel like the Lord wants to bless you. Would it be okay if I pray for you?
Oh, stop right there. You might want to write those incredibly wise words down. Jesus came saying, the kingdom of God has come. She said that, but she said it like this. I really think God might want to bless you. I'd like to pray for you. I really think God might want to bless you. I'd like to pray. Write that down if you need to. If you say the holy hello, you might meet someone who gives you their name. You might have a conversation. They might tell you their problems. You now are cooking with grease. Continue.
Yeah, so she said yes, so I prayed for her.
And when Yay! I was done,
and when I was done, she said thank you.
Yeah.
And then we went home to our own homes, and I've seen her several times. I haven't had a chance to talk with her. I went to say hello to her last week, and she asked me if I go to church, and I said yes. And of course, I invited her to come here, and I gave her the Grace Talks information, so she might be listening.
Oh, hi.
Hi, friend. We really hope you visit. And so at least she knows that I'll pray for her.
See how simple that is? Now, I want to be part of a church community where it is so normal that every one of us say hello, have conversations, and are able to say with faith, I think the Lord might want to bless you. May I pray for you? Oh, that's the scary part, because they're going to say yes, and you don't mean I'm going to go home and kneel. You mean I'm going to right now say, Lord, would you do it? I'm going to pray for her. And I got nothing, but you got everything. Fill me with your spirit. You say that quietly. You're scared to death. And you say, could I put my hand on you to bless you? And you say, Lord, would you come and bless her right now? And so often, the Spirit of the living God breaks through the heavens and lands on the person. And suddenly, they're experiencing peace and hope. The next thing you know, they might have a healing because their body was broken, and you asked Jesus to heal their body, and he does. I have seen it. I am telling you, You've heard me talk about seeing the dead raised. That's exciting. But I've also seen headaches go. I've also seen knees that wouldn't work. And I have seen the blind eyes open, but usually not. But I have seen it. I've done it. I mean, I've been there when it's happened. I've seen the deaf hear. I have seen the lame walk. Everything that you read about in the Bible, I've personally seen every one of those. But none of it happens if you don't at least say hello. How hope works through our lives? Well, that's how. Amber's one who knows hope. In the midst of sorrow, confusion, fear, lost, all sorts of... Yeah, I know you have some problems, don't you? But yet you find hope in God. Left foot, right foot. I came empty. They're going to pray at the end. I'm going to go get prayer and get a little filled up. I'm going to receive. I'm going to turn around outside and bless someone. I'm feeling so empty today. The gravity on my seat is strong. I'm not going to go to my home group tonight. I get up and go. The Lord shows up. They pray for me. I'm in the Word. We worship. And I get filled up. Right foot. I go out back into life and I say hello to someone. And I've got resource to give. This is so simple. But I'm telling you, much of the Church of Jesus Christ believes that all we need to do is study and learn more information and get our doctrine right and know who's sinning and who's not. We have life to give. Everybody gets to play. Everybody gets to play. And when we do, ordinary people do extraordinary things. Romans, Paul still writing, says this little passage that I think tells us a bit how hope works in and through our lives. He said, you know, Isaiah the prophet 1,000 years ago said that the root of Jesse will spring up. To how many of you hear the phrase, the root of Jesse will spring up, and you go, what does that mean? Because you have no idea. That is the weirdest sentence I've ever heard. The root of Jesse will spring up. What's a root? What's Jesse? What does it mean to spring up? I have no idea what you're talking about. If you I hope you have those questions, because if you don't know the history of that sentence, you would have no idea. That's the weirdest thing I ever heard. The root of Jesse will spring up. What that means is a man in the Bible who had a son named David. Ever heard of King David? His name was Jesse. And the prophet had said, opposite of ancestor after that. I don't know what the right word is. One of the grandsons of Jesse. It was like a tree that was cut off and there's just a stump and there's a root left. The root of Jesse would grow up. Guess whose great-great-great-great-grandfather Jesus was? Jesse. This is a prophecy about a coming Messiah. It was known it would be Jesus. The root of Jesse will rise up. He will rise to rule over all the nations. The kingdom of God ruling in a way where we are now invited to make him king of our lives, making him the ruler of our lives. When we do that, we enter into his kingdom and life changes. And the Gentiles, that's the non-Jews, because originally these were all Jews. And Paul's saying, you know, you Romans, you're not Jews. You're Gentiles mostly. And a root of Jesse, the prophet said, will spring up. He'll be the ruler. And in him, people all over the world, Jews and Gentiles, will put their hope. So from that, Paul says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. As you and I trust in Jesus, the God of all hope fills us with joy and peace as we trust in him. So that, what happens next? You may overflow with hope. By what? By your good thinking. By your good doctrine. By going to church a lot. By your good works. By singing really good songs. By feeding the poor. By doing, you know, by the Holy Spirit. It's his work. But I get to show up so that his work can be done in me, because when I don't show up with him, it's hard for him to get to me. Sometimes he'll break through anyway when I'm running, but generally I go to him and he fills me up. Receive and give. overflow by the power of the Holy Spirit. I put my hope in Jesus. The life of the kingdom of God continues to be my experience. His powerful presence is in my life. There is a typo in your notes that says lived. It should say lives. With both internal transformation, in other words, my character is being developed like Jesus. I'm learning peace. I'm experiencing hope, joy, grace, gentleness, kindness, forgiveness, love of others, patience, all the working of the Holy Spirit in me begins to transform me on the inside. Makes me more attractive to people when I start looking like Jesus that way. But also externally, he brings healing to my body. He brings provision when I don't have a job and my friends pray and all of a sudden I have a job. External, internal, the life, the transformation of Jesus breaking through into me, and now freely received, I freely give. The hope that I possess overflows to those in need around me, because I said hello to someone at the bus stop and then I got their name and then they told me about their problem, and the hope I have overflows into them, and I tell them about the hope of Jesus, and then I pray for them and the Holy Spirit in me overflows into them and things change. Everyone gets to play. You're called. What was the first thing I said? Jesus wants to involve you in his mission for the world. Oh, but I'm not even sure if I'm a Christian. Well, Jesus wants to involve you in his mission for the world. Well, I said a prayer once, but I haven't been living like it. Jesus wants to involve you in his mission for this world. Go to him. Let him meet the need you have. Go to him. Let him forgive the sin you have. Go to him. Let him clean you up. Go to him. Let him fill you up. Go to him. Let him give you courage. Go to him. Let him give you his presence. Go to him. Experience his kingdom. And then look for someone to whom you can give the holy hello. Is this simple or what? Jesus calls every one of us, I'm using this like a stick, to join him in his mission for the world. Acts 10, and I'll land the ship here. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. You know, you see Vanita back there all the time with a blessing basket. What's happening? I have a suspicion that somewhere in your life, someone brought a blessing to you. And you want to bring a blessing to people that you are particularly caring about, who are homeless, on the streets, whatever the circumstances. So you create these blessing bags so that people can take a sandwich, if they have one, in addition to some toothpaste and a pair of clean socks and some underwear. Stuff like that. And bless someone. Why? Because I think God wants to bless you. Could I pray for you? Oh, and give you a toothbrush. That's what's happening. Oh, that was your free advertisement. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. Uh-oh, this gets scary here. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. What? As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Who's that to? Oh, it's you. With that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Let's stand up. If you know that you are someone who can pray for people in this church, would you come to the front right now? Would you do me a favor? Close your eyes so you're not distracted by stuff that's going around. Maybe open your hands to the Lord. God, I pray the prayer you taught us, let the kingdom of God come upon your people. Holy Spirit, begin to rest on people. Now listen, if you're here and you are under discouragement, I'm asking that you come, whatever the circumstance is that's causing the discouragement, by the way. If it's your health, your money, your relationships, or anything else, come and ask someone if they will pray over you.